Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hello, and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on this Wednesday, September 3rd of 2025. I'm Paul Gallant, and this is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. One that you can jump aboard at 713-780-3776. That's how you call. It's how you text. YouTube, you can join there and watch along at ESPN Houston or on Twitch at ESPN 975. I am wearing a Houston Cougars t-shirt in spite of the Cougs fan who was trying to get me to fight him at Kirby Ice House on Saturday. Don't think I've forgotten. Am I the bigger man? Yes. Also, my school's won a national title and yours hasn't, but it's fine. Look, you can also get on the show via the ESPN Houston app. It's on your iPhone. It's on your Android at 97.9 HD2. If you've been listening to me recently, you're probably getting a sense that I'm growing tired of this baseball season and this Astros team. For those who don't know, I'm a football guy and a bit of a baseball casual. I like watching baseball the same way that Alabama fans like watching Alabama. I only want to watch victories. If they ain't winning, if I'm not smoking a cigar after they win, I don't care. So I've been getting a little testy with the Astros of late, who are being given gift after gift after gift by the American League West. Rangers crapped themselves last night. Mariners had a team meeting, I guess, before the game. Also crapped themselves last night. So I was hoping to come into today's show talking about an Astros victory over a red-hot Yankees team. It was going to require the bats to show up. And guess what? They didn't. I should be crushing them because I don't care if Max Fried's on the mound for the Yankees. You should be able to score some runs with that lineup against any pitcher in baseball. One, not enough. So I'm watching last night's game, getting more and more and more and more frustrated with the Astros' lack of offense. But hey, listen, it's still a game. It's the fifth inning. All of a sudden, the bases are loaded. The game's on mute at this point because I'm thinking to myself, okay, I'll look up. If the score is a tie game, I'll actually re-engage myself. I look down, I look up, a grand slam had happened. And I'm like, what the hell happened here? I get up, I go make myself some espresso, I come back, and all of a sudden the internet is asking, what did Framber Valdez just do? And I mean, that's a wide range, ain't it? Because the guy has less of an ability to control himself, despite having specifically a team doctor for him, Dr. Andy Nunez. He cannot control his temper. So I was like, all right, well, what the hell did he do? So I watched the replay of the grand slam. Then I watched the replay of the pitch to Cesar Salazar, where Framber just guns it directly at his chest, turns around, walks straight backwards, doesn't even check to see if his catcher, who is a journeyman catcher, is okay. Cesar Salazar's played like 60 major league games, and you just pelted him in the chest with a, I guess it wasn't a fastball. Whatever. It's 90 plus miles per hour in my book. That's a fastball. Directly in the chest. Nowhere close to where he was setting up. I'm no baseball expert, but take a look at that body language. Did that not look like someone who's pissed? And given his track record of throwing at guys when things hit the fan. Remember when he threw at Marcus Semien in July of 2023 with the Rangers after a big day for Semien? Remember when he threw at noted pest Jose Caballeros with the Seattle Mariners less than a month later that same season? When Fromber loses his temper, he acts like a complete baby. That was him being a complete baby. And I do not care if the Astros got their story ready to go by the end of the game. I don't care if Joe Espada said, yeah, it could have been a sign cross-up. I don't care if Cesar Salazar said, oh, yeah, we've got a good relationship, too. And it was a sign cross-up after the game. And I don't give a bleep about what Framber Valdez said through his poor meat shield translator over the course of the 5 minutes and 49 seconds that he spoke, taking some pretty tough questions. But, of course, having that little barrier, which is a very convenient one to have when you're a baby. Same kind of, I guess, barrier you have if you're a two-year-old who can't speak and you're constantly throwing a bleep storm whenever things aren't going your way. That was pathetic last night, and I'm done with him. I've been done with him for a while. Now I'm at the point of, hey, why did they trade him at the deadline? Which, not the smart thing to do, definitely, if you're trying to win a World Series. But I'm just so tired of this crap. I'm so tired of it, and you should be as well. This is ridiculous. Framber has zero ability to maintain his emotions. He has an effing doctor, a team psychologist, to help him out on that front. Has it improved at all over the course of his time? I'll say this about myself. I have anger issues. I know it. I get mad at myself more than anyone. I see a therapist. I talk to a therapist once a month about it. When I get mad at myself, I get very self-destructive. I say horrible things to myself. Blah, blah, blah. But I've gotten a lot better at it over the entirety of my life. Fromber's not working on it at all based off of what I see. This is just a regular thing for Framber. When he's on his A game, he's one of the best left-handed pitchers in baseball, if not the best left-hand pitcher in baseball. But when one little thing doesn't go his way, ranging from his jerseys to the length of his braids to, oh, I gave up a hit after a pitch that wasn't exactly where it needed to be. The guy has no ability to control himself, and I just do not care about the Astros team account of what happened last night. You shouldn't believe it. No one on the outside looking in believes Framber Valdez. The only people that believed the Framber Valdez story, I doubt Framber Valdez does. I doubt Cesar Salazar does. I doubt Joe Espada does. I would say the only person that believes Framber Valdez's side of things is probably Dana Brown, based off an interview he did a little bit earlier today. But this was pathetic, embarrassing, and I'm just sick of this. You should be sick of it too. GTFO. I don't want this anymore. You don't want this anymore. This guy is a head case. And are you just going to let this slide? Is this really going to be, oh yeah, it's just miscommunication. Are you serious? That's it? It's just going to go by the wayside? Everyone believes everyone's account? This is the kind of thing that deserves the private pile soap in a sock treatment. This is what that deserves. He was an a-hole to one of his teammates last night. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And I'm sorry, an apology isn't good enough. By the way, Framber talked about the apology throughout this press conference where he talked about feeling remorse, which is something that I don't really buy. But he gave himself up through his translator, who hit the perfect person in the way of potentially, you know, vomiting all over himself and ruining the story. He said, Framber Valdez did, that he wanted a specific pitch. He has no ability to call a pitch because guess what? He doesn't wear a pitch comm device. And he said, yeah, I wanted to make a call for a specific pitch. When asked how he could call anything given that circumstance, Valdez said, it wasn't necessarily that I called for it. That was just the pitch I had in mind. End quote. Oh, so Cesar Salazar, journeyman baseball players, a psychic now? If he was a psychic, I think that he would be more than a journeyman major leaguer. I think he would be there every effing game. He'd probably be hitting 500 at best. Maybe at worst. So, I understand how there is a world where you can look at all the accounts from Framber Valdez, from Cesar Salazar, from Joe Espada after the game lining up and say, yeah, this is fine. It's not. This could be a problem the rest of the way if something isn't done about it. It needs to be Correa yelling at him. It needs to be Altuve yelling at him. It needs to be Espada yelling at him. It needs to be Dusty Baker picking up the phone and yelling at him. How about AJ Hinch? Screw it. How many people can we have line up and yell at Framber Valdez? Because that was completely unacceptable, and I do not give a bleep about what he said. I just do not believe him. And you shouldn't either. That was on brand for what this guy is, which is someone who loses his temper on a regular basis and has shown no signs of actually correcting that. Get lost. DFAing him is crazy, but that's how mad I am today, and I suppose that this is what it's like if you are dating the craziest person on the crazy hot matrix. Like, I guess this is how it goes. You look the other way, you rationalize it with yourself, but after seven effing years, and this is every single time with Framber Valdez, when something doesn't go his way, at what point are you going to say, I need to leave. I'm going to pack up my things. That's what I want to do today. Sean Mabes, hi.
Hi. You brought up the crazy hot scale. I think that's what an issue with this is that now he's on the wrong side of that, where he's not pitching well enough to where you look the other way on this stuff. Not just last night, but look at his stats from the month of August. He was bad all month. He's now reached the point where it's like the headache isn't worth it. Even back in, what was it? It was 2021 or 2022?
Oh, 22.
Back when it was like, oh, hey, he's really figured things out. He started
the
talking.
The World Series season.
Yeah, he's talking to a therapist now. And it's like, okay. And even before that, he was like kind of still on the good side of like, he's a good enough pitcher that you put up with this. And then, yeah, it felt like he had things figured out. And now it's a backslide, not just in the performance, but it's also a backslide in the mental side of things, too.
For sure. For sure. And now, like, you have to ask yourself this serious question. And thank goodness for the Mariners, and thank goodness for the Rangers. I should wear one of their jerseys today because they keep helping the Astros out. The offense is also to blame for last night's game. But Framber Valdez's next start, get this, at least as scheduled. You guys ready for this?
Oh, I think I know.
Are you ready? Because this is the problem. You want to sit Framber Valdez down, especially given just how he has pitched over the course of the last month. But Framber's next start is against the American League best, at times, Toronto Blue Jays, who are not playing particularly well right now. I mean, if you want to send a message, you can. What if that message makes him also lose his mind and slash your tires? That's where we're at with him. Sean's laughing. Is that out of the realm of possibility, given what he does? He throws things at people when he's mad. He's like Rico Bosco at Barstool Sports, a psychopath who somehow got on Fox Sports 1, and I'm not bitter about that at all. Not bitter about it at all. I could throw a high noon faster than him, I think, if I really wanted to. But that's neither here nor there. The Framber situation, I am tired of it. I have done too many segments about Framber meltdowns. I went in my Google Docs to check all the show rundowns from the past. I found Framber meltdown 11 times. 11. Not because there's some recurring segment about Framber Valdez meltdowns, but now there should be. Days since last Framber Valdez meltdown. It's not Chernobyl level, but we are getting to the point where this clubhouse has to be sick of this. And Cesar Salazar, my dude, you are a great teammate. You had your story straight before you talked to Astros reporters. Maybe it was because Framber Valdez was standing over you at your locker. That's how it was described on The Athletic. I don't speak Spanish. I have no idea what was said between the two. But he had Fromber's back. Fromber did not deserve anyone to have his back. And, you know, I think his testimony, even through that poor translator, who's also a shield for him, basically helping him out. It would have been funny if Fromber the whole time was like, yo, Cesar Salazar is just a total a-hole. He's stupid. He's there's a word, I can't say it, but it begins with bend. And sometimes it ends with a-hole. And it's one of those words where I'm wondering if that is what he was actually saying up there. I can't tell. His translator did a lot of work there. But he mentioned he apologized a couple of times. He said it wasn't an issue. But the pitch comm side of things, sorry. It's loud. There are so many Yankees fans there. Well, the TBS broadcast made it seem that way. That's for sure. But it's just such a stretch to believe this story as a whole. And you know he's gone already, which makes it easy to say this, but I'm done with him.
Yeah.
I'm not even pouring one out for him. I'm probably lighting a cigarette. I'm probably saying the same thing that those two guys who took Tommy DeVito in Goodfellas into the empty room with the tarp on the floor. And I'm going to say, that's that. Then I'm going to give a half Irish, half Italian guy a call. I'm going to be like, oh, Tommy. Oh, you ain't going to see him no more. That's how I feel. I'm at the point, because of this being such a recurring bit, that I want to DFA him, even though that would be a very stupid thing to do with the Astros in the middle of a pennant stretch. He kind of deserves that treatment. A stronger organization would sit him down the rest of the year, but you are in a very delicate situation if you want to win a World Series. But here's the other thing, too. I mean, just look at the way that Framber Valdez has pitched over the course of the last month. I mean, Sean, you mentioned it a little bit earlier. Outside of a nice outing against the Colorado Rockies, who blow, take a look at the other four outings. Oh, 19 earned runs in four starts post the trade deadline. By the way, his start before the trade deadline, he's bitching and moaning about the defensive alignments. We actually had his back for that. But again, it's consistent with the diva nature of this guy. And he's exceptionally talented, but you can't have all of these meltdowns and be the person that people are looking to in the locker room and saying, we're going to do things your way. Because this team already does it enough. You have your own team psychologist. They wear jerseys specifically so that you don't lose your mind. Is a service dog next? Do the Astros need to trade for whatever Herb Street dog it is? Honestly, I kill two birds with one stone. Less Herb Street dog, happier Fromber. I'm just throwing things out there at this point. He's wild. Absolutely wild out there. And SSRIs ain't going to fix that. Weed ain't going to fix it. Booze ain't going to fix it. This is who he is, because it's been who he's been this entire time. And you know what? He's costing himself money with a performance like that, unless he made a phone call to the Yankees before the game, and after he's like, yeah, this catcher screwed up my call. And he'd been a little flirtatious. Te amo, los Yankees. And then he thinks to himself, you know what? Here you go.
How about this? Also, the funny part about the ball that hit Cesar Salazar in the chest, it was like a 92 mile per hour pitch right down the middle.
Yes.
Like, why didn't
that padding is not that thick?
Also, why didn't the batter swing at it? It was just a meatball.
I'll also say this. You would think Salazar could catch that.
Well, because he was ready for a breaking ball.
Correct. And Salazar said, yeah, I called the wrong pitch. Again, like, completely falling on the sword.
Yeah.
We saw how Salazar looked at Fromber afterwards. We saw Fromber just go directly behind the mound, which is something he's been taught to do by his team psychologist when he is emotionally affected. It was all there. Like, we don't need to talk to anybody after the game. And I really wonder how the rest of the clubhouse feels about this. I would not want him to play in the next game, but I know I kind of need him to play in the next game. It's a weird situation to be in, and I know this is how sports go. Sports are populated by high-intensity alpha men who are extremely competitive. And I'm not dumping on Fromber's ability. Fromber's been one of the most consistent pitchers in baseball, but he consistently does this. And he does it enough to make you wonder about when the next time is. Like, it's a ticking time bomb now. You know it comes again. Did he get it all out of his system in 1 month? Was August a rage room for Fromber Valdez? That's what my hope is now. Oh, Fromber, yeah, he got shelled by every team he faced that wasn't the worst team in baseball history, and then he abused his catcher. Which sounds worse if you have a dirty mind. It's not good.
But then after that, he was awesome. Great teammate, great pitcher. Astros win the World Series off the back of Fromber Valdez.
That's fair, but I mean,
no, probably not going to
remember the Braves series. Like it's, there's enough games where he just completely loses his cool, and obviously he's not getting another contract here. But I want to be done with this. You know, when I was 15 or so. I lived with my mom in Florida for high school. My dad and my sister lived up in Massachusetts. And my dad was engaged to somebody for a little bit. After that moment in time, I wasn't the biggest fan, to be perfectly honest, but it wasn't my problem. I was never there. But at the very end, I remember I came and I visited for spring break. And like they weren't talking. And they were living in the same house. And it was super awkward. Because it was a big house. And I mean, here I am, like sitting in the room playing Halo 2. I got my headset on, and you know, as one does, yelling profanities at children younger than me after I double killed their ass, maybe a teabag here or there. And then I just see my dad and his soon to be ex fiance like walking around the house, no eye contact, no conversation, no communication. That's where I'm at with Fromber. It's awkward.
You're just running out the clock?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I also had that moment last night of just being like, so what are we thinking, like 5 or 6 more starts?
Yeah.
that's about all we're looking at is just 5 or 6. And you bring up a good point about how they're in the middle of a race.
You can't sit them, but you need to.
And also, like, I'm pretty sure we can get 6 earned runs on however many innings. Like, I'm pretty sure we can get that from someone else. Yes. He hasn't been pitching well enough to be indispensable.
Yeah. Jason Alexander's going to actually give you more.
Yeah.
He's been your maybe best pitcher the last month?
Have higher expectations for when Jason Alexander pitches than when Fromber Valdez does. And I do wonder if I do wonder how it plays in the clubhouse. Because that's the one thing that we don't.
This has always been a strong clubhouse, and things have changed in a post-Bregman world. There's been so many guys who have left, and it's great that Correa is back.
Yeah, but this is a big test.
This is a big moment, and we're not going to hear anything about what went down behind the scenes. We're not. But, guys, you can go to let's take a look here. Walmart.com. The Walmart you thought you knew is now new. Who knew? Walmart.com.
Does it cost extra if you get it delivered?
It doesn't, actually, Sean. They can deliver in as fast as an hour.
This is not integrated, by the way.
This is not integrated. I'm just saying. Men's socks. Men's socks, Walmart.
Oh.
It's a very nice search Okay. So the entire Astros team, you can get a 12-pack, 25 guys on a team. So you can get a pack of men's socks, Cushion Crew socks,
ooh,
a 12-pack for $9.84. So two packs of that, and then soap, Walmart.
Bar soap, yeah.
Right, bar soap, Walmart. If you were to go to Walmart and, what should we use, SpongeBob's limited edition natural bar soap?
Should we use? That's wasteful and disrespectful to Mr. Squarepants.
Okay, well, you can get a basis sensitive skin bar for $1.97.
That seems fitting.
Okay,
sensitive skin.
Mm-hmm.
For a sensitive starting pitcher.
For a sensitive starting pitcher. So one bar, $1.97. Multiply that by 24. So we're talking for the price of, let's say,
it's like 50.
Okay. $50 to $60, everyone can give Framber Valdez the not approved by Walmart bar of soap and a sock treatment. That's all. So we'll see if the Astros do something like that. It is the Paul Gulott Show.
They shouldn't. They shouldn't.
Sports talk show in Houston. They shouldn't. I'm not endorsing it, but.
But if they want to, we would understand.
But if they want to, that's how much it'll cost. And I think baseball players, even Cesar Salazar, major league journeyman, can afford that. Thank you, Walmart. Up next on the Paul Gulott Show. Hey, fellas, who's been soft in the world of sports? Who's softer than Framber Valdez on the hill when you accidentally press the wrong button on the pitch comp? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. We'll talk about it. Stay put.
Soft boys in a tough sitch. Ime Udoka thinks you're a bitch.
In honor of the time that Ime Udoka called LeBron James a soft-ass boy every single Wednesday at 12:30, the Paul Gulott Show tells you who's been soft in the world of sports. Obviously, number one is Framber Valdez. Framber Valdez gave up a grand slam, and as he does, two pitches later,
on a crossed-up pitch with Cesar Salazar,
threw a 92-93-mile-per-hour pitch directly at his chest. Catcher's padding is not Kevlar. I imagine Cesar Salazar has some sort of welt from that. Man who has played all of 60 major league games is now getting abused by a multimillionaire pitcher. Huh. Hashtag tax the rich. Anyway, what else is going on soft in the world of sports? You know what? I love my Syracuse Orange. I really do. I'm probably the biggest Syracuse football fan in the city of Houston, Texas, which is not saying much because Syracuse football, you know, it hasn't been great for most of the last 25 years. Last year was fun at the very least. Shout out to Fran Brown. If you watched Saturday's Syracuse-Tennessee game, you saw arguably the softest display in totality by two teams playing a football game ever. Indoors. How many times do you think someone's going to cramp first game of the year? How many times do you think guys are going to drop down to the ground as if they are cramping and are hurt to slow the game down? It turned into a nuclear war of flopping and cramping after these moments in particular, as Tennessee was driving on a gassed Syracuse.
And now falling down is Demetrius Samuel Jr. And the Tennessee crowd not buying it.
This isn't a good look. This one looked blatant, where he just kind of hit the dirt. He was walking back to the huddle, didn't lined up. You know that they're trying to crack down on this kind of thing, faking injuries. And I don't want to assume anything about any player, but this one to me looked suspicious. I hope that there isn't an injury. You're going to see it here on your screen. You're going to see it right here. You had two guys actually do it.
Deuce Chestnut was about to take a knee. Yeah, he was about to take the same injury as well.
I mean, that's just not the kind of that's just not what college football wants. They're trying to get this out of the game.
I want reparations for my 4 years of tuition at Syracuse. Reparations for that. Two players flopping at the same time, and they didn't give me a scholarship to play. Me, the great Paul Gallant, one of the greatest safeties in a specific region of Florida at the lowest level back in the year of our Lord, 2006. Unbelievable. Tennessee did it as well. Did they do it because Syracuse was doing it so much? I don't know. Syracuse-Tennessee began 15 minutes before Texas-Ohio State did. Texas-Ohio State, which obviously was a quick game that was low scoring, a lot of running the football. That game was over an hour before Syracuse and Tennessee wrapped up. One of the worst football watching experiences of my life. Syracuse and Tennessee, either you're just completely out of shape, which is embarrassing to start your year, or you were flopping the whole game because you couldn't handle no huddle offenses. Either way, pathetic. Also soft boys. Who's been soft in the world of sports? How about this from Nebraska? Nebraska football had a big win to open up their year. And after the win, obviously coming on the heels of Travis Kelce's engagement to Taylor Swift, someone photoshopped, what's his name? Herbie Husker? The mascot for Nebraska embracing Taylor Swift with his costume arms on her hip, her nose against his nose. Love, 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 love. They posted this. It was funny. But they deleted it a little bit later. Internet is forever, so you can still find pictures of it if you so choose. I think Nebraska's soft for taking it down. Flex, you won. You won in front of Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes with your Patrick Mahomes cosplaying quarterback.
Yep, and you beat a Cincinnati alum-in-law. Alumni-in-law? Is that how that works? Or soon-to-be alumni-in-law?
Right, exactly.
Because if there's one thing we know about Taylor Swift, is she roots for the teams that that Travis Kelce roots for.
Right,
so
exactly.
She's a big Bearcats fan.
So it was, for sure.
Yeah, you're right to stunt.
A moment of cuckery, for sure. What? What are you laughing at? That word is the correct word to use.
No,
Nebraska is going to Nebraska, okay? More soft. Who's soft in the world of sports? Soft girl. Why does this always happen in tennis? Why are tennis players, specifically lady tennis players, such crybabies? Czech tennis star Karolina Muchova broke down in tears at the U.S. Open when she saw an ex-boyfriend that she said, quote, shows up at places where he shouldn't be. Listen, I can understand how stalkers suck, but I mean, was he yelling your name the whole time? He would have been kicked out. These U.S. Open arenas are big enough where I wouldn't think you'd be able to pick out one specific person in the crowd. So they had to stop the match for a little bit because of this. Soft. Who else is soft?
I think tennis is the soft boy sport.
I have no respect for the sport, even though
I know golfers. Golfers are more mentally tough than tennis players.
Well, golf is a game of failure.
Yeah.
Tennis, look, I'm not denying it's a tough sport to play. I mean, it involves a lot of athleticism, it involves a lot of stamina, it involves a lot of arm and shoulder work. Like, it is not an easy sport by any means. That's why people play pickleball instead, because they're too unathletic to actually play the real thing. But the amount of country club P words that are in this sport, it's just a complete turnoff and makes me never want to watch it.
Do you think if Framber Valdez played tennis, they'd be like, look at his mental toughness?
I think
look at this guy's a steel trap compared to the rest of these tennis players.
If you thought John McEnroe, tennis great, who was known for his temper, deserved to be suspended for life. I mean, Framber is 100% tossing his racket like a frisbee at the line judge every other tournament.
Who was it? Was it Djokovic that hit a ball like straight at a one of the ball boys. Like he just like he just in between matches, just boom, just nailed a kid. Just eat that. That's what Fromber would do.
Fromber would do that. Fromber would pretend he's going to autograph a ball for a kid and then
give it to a Polish CEO.
Yeah, exactly. You just pull the old fast one. Although that would be kind of funny in a way.
Yoink.
Why would you want that guy's autograph? You don't even know how to pronounce his name. Definitely don't know how to spell it. Whatever, though. That was a weird move. By the way, we found out. So that person, there was a fake post. That must suck. About this Polish billionaire. The quote that was attributed to him was a fake one. And actual accounts that should have known better ran with it, which led to me running with it. So for that, I apologize.
Accountability here.
Got to take accountability for our actions. Sometimes you get in trouble for doing the wrong thing.
Hand up.
Will Fromber Valdez get in trouble for what he did last night? I don't know. The Rams are soft about this, at least. We'll see how soft they are on Sunday when Matt Stafford and Jared Verse are on the field for them. I'm terrified of Jared Verse versus Ariante Ursary. The Rams are mad that the Philadelphia Eagles broke an unwritten rule. What is that unwritten rule? It is signing a guy who's been released with the intent to put him on injured reserve and not lose them. This is a post from a Rams fan. In the NFL, there's an unwritten rule that teams don't claim waived and injured players. It's a courtesy so the original team can stash them on IR without losing them. 31 teams respected that, with Rams offensive lineman Willie Lampkin. The Eagles broke tradition and claimed him. All right, well, that's pretty funny because they're the Super Bowl champs and they beat the Rams in the playoffs last year. This actually has happened before, and it is a thing, because Tom Coughlin got mad at Bill Belichick for signing Jake Ballard after the Giants tried to do the same thing with Jake Ballard. Does anyone remember Jake Ballard? Nope. Did it matter? Nope. But that's such Eagles broke an unwritten rule. One more time, Sean?
Such a Belichick move.
It is a Belichick move.
I was actually thinking, I can't believe I've never heard of this because Bill Belichick would have definitely done this.
Yes.
Little did I know, he did. For the great Jake Ballard.
For Jake Ballard. Sometimes you got to, you know, you got to ball for Ballard. Exactly. Anyway, Paul Galancho, Soft Boys. Who's been soft in the world of sports from the 8-2? Have y'all talked about Fromber Valdez intentionally hitting his catcher in the chest? Yes. We spent the first 24 minutes of the show talking about it. We opened Soft Boys talking about it. We closed Soft Boys talking about it. And we will talk about this all day. You think I don't have the energy to stay mad at this crazy person on the Hill who needs an actual sports psychologist? By the way, the sports psychologist is not there every single game, and he was actually at last night's game. You think I'm not going to talk about this all show long? I'm done with Fromber. I'm sick of it. I'm done with him. You can throw a no-hitter in the playoffs. I don't give a crap. The Astros probably won't score enough runs anyway. I don't care. I'm done with this. How are you feeling about it? Does anyone actually believe the Fromber Valdez, Joe Espada, Cesar Salazar, state-run media account of events? Does anyone actually believe it? I'd like to hear from you. I'm not even going to jump down your throat. I want to know. I want to know. Because I'm at the point right now where there's no room for plausible deniability in my book when it comes to Fromber Valdez. We know who he is. He's a guy who does not have the ability to control his temper. Paul Galancho, stay put. First, let me tell you about my friends at St. Arnold. St. Arnold has a beer for everyone. You know how much I love the lawnmower. St. Arnold has, in addition to that, a place for everyone. Their beer garden's awesome. If you've never been there before, you should check it out sometime. We went there for my birthday a couple of months ago as a station. And for private events, St. Arnold has a space for everyone. You can have your private event at St. Arnold. A wedding, a family reunion, a big birthday bash, a company happy hour, a trade show, corporate meeting, a holiday gathering, celebration of life. Why not? Because St. Arnold has a place, a space for groups of 20 to 300 people. The beer hall, which is where the company party, listener party, is going to be on Friday, with full audio and visual capabilities, projector screens, everything you need, the full in-house catering menu from the St. Arnold chef. They've got great food there. I love the chicken sandwich that they have. They also have beer for your event, the freshest St. Arnold beer in the world, straight from the source, with wine, cider, and root beer to boot. Book your event now. Go to StArnold.com. Click on private events. Again, StArnold.com. Private events. And since you listen to ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, mention ESPN or mention Gallant and receive their brewery game package free for your event. Dartboards, Jenga, cornhole, pool table, and a photo booth. All sorts of fun that you can have at that event. But again, they're running out of time and you're running out of opportunities to book that event. Go to StArnold.com. Click on private events to host your big shindig today. So we know what the Astros want you to believe about Framber Valdez looking very much like he threw at Cesar Salazar after Salazar didn't call the pitch he wanted, which led to a grand slam. There's a variety of different accounts coming from the Astros on it. After the game, Joe Espada claimed a little bit of, no, I got to go back and watch it. Cesar Salazar immediately had Fromber's back. Good teammate he is. And Fromber was apologetic afterwards. But he also said it wasn't intentional. All right, well, why are you being apologetic about it? Why did you feel the need to say sorry? You didn't say sorry in the moment. It took you a while to say sorry. We had to ask you if you said sorry because of the way that you handled it. Junior Broncos is, I think, the only person that is defending Framber Valdez. I do not understand this. He says, we need more a-holes. This isn't Aggie baseball. Well, what if the a-hole is pooping all over your chances of winning the American League West? Because Framber has sucked for the last month, except for against the Rockies, who aren't a real team, and against the Nationals, who also aren't a real team. Those are his last two good performances, or against last place dead teams. Otherwise, it's been a bunch of ass. Here's a report from Michael Schwab. I know people get mad at Michael Schwab. Schwab, for what it's worth, does have some connections. Seeing this report, I certainly want to believe it. Sources tell me tensions rose in the Astros clubhouse last night, says Schwab, after the loss, when players confronted Framber Valdez for his in-game actions involving Cesar Salazar. The argument escalated and coaches eventually stepped in to calm the situation. While intent behind the pitch remains unclear, Valdez's initial refusal to address Salazar frustrated many in the clubhouse. As it should! The whole thing looks embarrassing. All of baseball is laughing at you right now. I have friends from every single place that I have ever lived in asking me what the hell went down last night. And while I could tell them what the Astros official account was, I could also point to Chandler Rome's article that asks some interesting questions, much like Chandler asked a bunch of tough questions after last night's game. But what does common sense tell you? This is a pretty embarrassing moment for the Astros as a whole. You lose 6-1, and this happens, and no one outside of Houston is taking your side. And this is different than the sign-stealing side of things, because everyone was mad that you won there. This is one of those situations where everyone's like, wow, what an a-hole. I don't even know if I want to sign him on my team if he's a free agent this coming off season. You know? Junior Bronco says, Salazar has less than 10 starts in the bigs. Framber's a Cy Young finalist. If he wants to throw a meatball down the middle, Salazar should let him. Okay. Sure. Fine. But what happens if you've been playing like Cesar Salazar normally does at the major league level for like a month plus, and Jason Alexander's making you look like you suck? You know, this going back to, you know, conversations that we had when Joe was on the show back in the day. And I know Junior Broncos got his panties in a wad about, like, the idea of trading Framber. F Framber. They should have traded him. They should have traded him at the trade deadline. I don't want him here anymore. I don't care if that's an irrational baseball take. I think baseball minds don't actually know a bleep about the sport. They always flex. Yeah, I know ball. I know ball. We got so many people that listen to this station who are obsessed with this god-awful sport, which I hate. But last night, I watched the game. I saw what happened, and I wanted that to happen right away. Because if this was a football team, that would happen. He would be gone. Another team might pick him up. Good luck with your Greg Hardy. Hopefully he doesn't assault people off the field too. Because he's throwing baseballs at people as if they're a weapon. That's what he's doing. Whenever he has a little meltdown, oh, here we go again. Throwing at Jose Caballeros. Throwing at Marcus Semien. Throwing at my effing catcher. Hey, here comes the poor translator. He's the meat shield. Bring him out. Bring him out. Bring him out. Hey. Okay. Okay. You can do the Devers route. You can just go that route. Huh. How good is Fromber really? Grinding Coffee on Whiskey asks. He's an unhinged pitcher who thinks he's better than he is. Like, that's true based off of what we've seen recently. Like, you're carrying yourself with any confidence, Sean? What are you talking about?
Until last month, he was an unhinged pitcher who was good. You know, it was like, yeah, we would even say, like, you can just kind of pencil in three, like, WTF moments a year of, like, what the hell is Framber Valdez doing right now? Well, why is he doing this? And the other 20-something starts, because he stays healthy, we're going to be pretty good starts for the most part. But there's always going to be, every couple months, just like a, what the hell is wrong with this guy?
Exactly.
And now you know, like we said in the first segment, the balance is just out of whack to where it's now a lot of, WTF's wrong with this guy.
Yes.
And a lot less 6 innings, 7 innings, no earned runs.
Who isn't tired of this? By the way, you know, you want to make comparisons, and Junior Broncos is saying no front office executive who needs a left-handed starter would care. Okay, but what if in the postseason, in all but one postseason, he has had stuff like this happen again? You know, I mean, think about that. He's got a Kershaw-esque track record. Except for Kershaw wasn't losing his mind and crying on the mound, essentially. That's basically what Fromber's doing. Oh, no, I gave up a home run. I'm going to assault somebody with a baseball. Pitchers need their asses kicked. They really do. I loved Pedro growing up, but he was in the American League. Could throw high and inside on guys. What are the repercussions? Someone might charge the mound once. Pedro's going to at least hold his own there. But
yeah. Old ass Don Zimmer might run at you.
Yeah.
Throw him to the ground.
Throw him to the ground. No, I mean, pitchers get to throw an object 100 miles per hour towards someone. There's no accountability for it. And it is kind of crazy. I've said this before. You should be allowed to bring the bat out. Oh, he gets a baseball. I get a bat. I'll go 50% with the swing. How about that?
Paul, that's assault. That's not cool. You're going to teach the kids bad lessons.
Well, isn't that what Framber Valdez is doing every single night? It's poor sportsmanship. Framber Valdez is failing the children of Houston. He is. That's going to happen now. Little Timmy, dead at the age of 8 because there's a cross-up between signs. And little Billy Bob, you know, he was pissed off, and he just threw the ball as hard as he could at the little spot in between the neck and the chest pad. And he hit him and... what was the first kid's name? I forget. But he's dead now. He's dead and he's forgotten forever.
I forgot which one was Timmy and Billy Bob.
Timmy was the first one. Little Billy Bob was the last one. Okay. Like, I'm just done with this experience. It feels like it happens regularly. And, I mean, he's a free agent. He's gone in a month plus. The Astros win the World Series. Will we miss him? Sure, I guess. But what leads you to believe that he is going to have another good start the rest of the year, just given how he's been for the past month? And two, who in this clubhouse wants him around? No one wants him around right now. That could change in a couple of days as an 162-game season, but this is the kind of person who's going to get the silent treatment for a little bit.
Cesar Salazar seems all right with him.
Yes, Cesar Salazar deserves a raise. For how he's handled this. From Framber. If I see that Framber gives him a grocery bag full of cash, I'm going to say $500,000, because Framber's going to get a big contract this offseason. I think $500,000 is fair.
I mean, he was going to get a big contract.
Yeah.
We'll see how big the contract is now.
Yeah.
He's still going to get a deal, but just like, I remember yesterday's show where we were like, there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on him. This would be a great time to have a great start.
Yes. Instead, this is what happened.
Like, I honestly think, I mean, there's no way to prove this. I do think he cost himself a little bit of money.
Yeah,
whether it's like actual final contract or it's one team that's like, I don't want this BS in my locker room. Like,
right.
I don't know. I feel like there will be repercussions on the, because it's a contract year. We talked about it before. It's a contract year. You think that he would, you know, normally a lot of times guys that are, you know, inconsistent for whatever reason, when it's time for a contract year, look who's become consistent now. Look who's really good, and they get that one big deal, and then they go back to being the inconsistent selves. At a certain point, credit to Framber Valdez, staying true to himself, being inconsistent, even in a contract year where he could have made himself millions and millions of more dollars had he been on his best behavior. But nah, he's too real for that.
Yeah, he's keeping too real. I know. There's some people that are like, yeah,
keeping a buck.
He's a real one. And I bet there's someone in the town. It's Junior Broncos, I guess. Like, Junior Broncos is really just enabling this a-hole behavior, like on the crazy psycho girlfriend who has never really done anything for you. Oh, 2022, though, man, he was great. Yeah, like, Astros barely lost a playoff game that round, that year. You know, even Verlander won a World Series game, for God's sake. Phillies sucked, you know? They weren't a real team. They barely got into the playoffs. Like, what? Put an asterisk on the National League champion that year.
They swept the first two rounds.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I remember I asked him a question, like, could you guys go undefeated this postseason?
I did.
That was a big take.
I remember that. People did not like that.
That was a big take. Junior Broncos asked, how do y'all know who is your in-clubhouse source? Our eyeballs. Did you watch the game last night? This is what I do not understand.
He's right here.
Watch the game. He looks like an unhinged person out there. Did you see him walk away from Salazar after hitting him there? He didn't even check. What an ass.
Does Junior Broncos watch the Astros?
No, I think he's trolling me right now. And again, it makes the best content possible because I am God when it comes to getting mad about things. But like, as SU Mello, who is a jackass on YouTube, says, like, one hour into the show, we're talking about the Astros. We're going to be one and done. Yeah, probably because of Framber Valdez. But guess what? It's because of Framber Valdez. So speaking of Framber Valdez, more Framber Valdez on Framber Valdez 97.5 and 92.5, the Valdez. Valdez, Framber Valdez. Framber Valdez, Dana Brown? Stick around.